Well, it's good to see you today. Today is the 7th of December. What do we remember about the 7th of December? Pearl Harbor Day. 84 years, Pearl Harbor Day occurred where 2,400 persons died from the surprise attack of the Japanese upon Pearl Harbor. 19 warships were sunk and 300 aircraft were destroyed, along with 2,400 persons. What a day. I remember, I don't remember. I was there, I was 3.5 years old, but I don't remember it. I don't know where Phil is, but Phil might have been 7 years old and he might remember it. But President Roosevelt said that was a day of infamy, something that would never be forgotten, and caused us to go to war, not only with Japan, but it caused us to go to war with Germany on the other side of the world. Amazing how the country responded to those two wars. They were putting out ships in a matter of weeks, you know, to supply for the war. All right, now we're going to be studying today, and we're going to go into the book of Luke. You know, my grandson's name is Luke. It's a wonderful name. And we're going to talk about the birth of the Messiah. I think that's a good thing to talk about. And the passage that we are about to read in the Gospel of Luke is the passage that I read to my grandchildren and my family every Christmas for years. I've done it for years. I've done it when the children were small children, and I would be in my easy chair with my open Bible, and the little children would gather around my feet listening to their grandfather. I was called Grandpa. I wasn't called all these other names that people have in the South. But they would gather around as little children. Now, where are they now? They're all adults. They don't gather around at my feet. I miss that. But I try to read that passage to my family every Christmas. And it's the passage in Luke 2:1-20. It's a beautiful passage which relates to us, our Savior's birth. And it's a passage that is worth reading throughout the year. You know, we ought to have a good Bible reading pattern, shouldn't we? And some people read through the Bible, just regularly read through the Bible. Some read through the New Testament more than the Old Testament. Some read the wisdom books, the prophets' books and things like that, all kinds of different methods of reading the scriptures. But it's Christmas, and we're going to read Luke 2:1-20. And it came to pass, you know, those words, as you get older, those words become prominent in your life, because there's so many events in your life that came to pass. And you can remember all of those events. You know, thousands of years had come before this. And this event that came to pass was told about in the book of Genesis. But it finally came to pass. Isn't that wonderful? You know, more people today are talking about the rapture. One of these days, it came to pass. You know, one of these days it came to pass. The world will be more astounded at that time than anything that ever happened in the world. But in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. We're not going to do anything about it. It's just Caesar. No. Caesar was the ruler. That all the world should be taxed. Nothing new there. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, what a different way of doing things today. We pay our taxes on the internet. We don't have to go to our own cities. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now notice that it's the city of David. What does that mean? David was born there. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Now notice that word espoused. Being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. You ladies had those days that were accomplished, didn't you? Wow, you were glad that the accomplishing was over. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. You know, I remember our children, when they came home, they had a whole room full of nice things. They had a nice bed, what do you call those, cribs. They had a nice crib. They had beautiful colorings on the walls and heat and cool, beautiful place to come. But our Savior was in a manger. Even that just brings tears to your eyes. But he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So, we see the inn, we see the manger, we see the shepherds. Those are the characters that take place here. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now the them there is the shepherds, and they were sore afraid. Boy, you'd be afraid too, wouldn't you? You know, every time an angel talks to a human being in the scriptures, what are the first two words that he says? Fear not. Fear not. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Oh, how great joy that is to us. Isn't it, as a Christian? Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And here's another, came to pass. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Oh, boy, they were excited. And they found Mary, they found Joseph, they found the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was one to ponder. There's another passage where she was given the words of angels and she pondered those words. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What a wonderful passage that is. Now, prior to this, it came to pass moment, we're to remember the elderly couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest, and Elizabeth, we are told, was barren, and they were visited by an angel also. Boy, the angels had a busy time during that time, didn't they? But it was an angel that they would hear from that they were going to bear a child named
John.
They didn't name the child. They were told to name the child John. And he would make ready a people for his name, for the Lord's name. He would go before the Lord and prepare the people for his name. Repent ye, he said. Repent ye. Get ready for the Lord. And then 6 months later, 6 months now, the angel Gabriel visited Mary to announce to her the virgin birth of the Messiah. Now, Mary, upon hearing that, went to visit her friend Elizabeth. And when she came in the house, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. Can you imagine that? The baby knew that the Messiah was here, and the baby jumped for joy. And it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, and then from there, we now enter in on the scripture just read in chapter 2 to learn that Luke's account of our Lord Jesus' birth is the only inspired account recorded in the Gospels. Now there's bits and pieces, but not this big of a piece where we're told about the birth. The Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of John do not deal with the birth or the childhood days of either John or Jesus, but begin with the commencement of John's public ministry. Matthew tells us about the visitation of the angel to Joseph prior to the birth of Jesus. Why did the angel visit Joseph? Anybody remember?
Was that to warn him? Are you talking about in the dream?
Joseph was concerned about his wife.
Right. Joseph was concerned about Mary coming home after her visit with Elizabeth, pregnant. Wow. What happened? You'd be concerned too. Now, the angelic visit calmed his mind about Mary and caused him to take Mary as his espoused wife rather than to put her away privately as he had originally intended. He wasn't going to make a big deal of it. He loved her. Then Matthew also informs us about the visit of the Magi, informing us of Herod's attempt to kill the baby and of the flight of the family to Egypt to stay until after Herod's death. So there's a lot of things going on in the Bible, but only Luke describes the events of Jesus' birth. You know, he could have told a lot about that, but it was a very short account of that. But it included the birth in Bethlehem, which was important. Why was it important to tell us that it was in Bethlehem? Well, it was important because that had been prophesied that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus thought he was doing something by decree of his own, but he was doing something by decree of God to cause a taxation, to cause Joseph to come to Bethlehem for the birth of the Savior. How things happen in God's plan, you know? It's so important to remember that when we pray for God's will, listen for God's will. You know, a lot of times we pray that God's will be our will. But boy, God does things different. You know, he does things different. So if you do pray for God's will, back off. Back off. So God has chosen to give these few events, and therefore we may conclude that they are the most important events for us to know. But you know, one thing I want to remind us today, and you may think that I'm being kind of, I don't know, is the word obstreperous? What does that mean, obstreperous?
You'll have to tell us.
Well, I use it, but I know it's kind of a dopey thing to be. But one thing we need to remember is that the birth of Christ is not a part of the gospel. It's not a part of the gospel. Now, some of the last words spoken by Jesus to the disciples recorded in Mark 16:5 are, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Wow. That's our mission. We are not told to go ye into all the world and preach Christmas as it is. Now, what a contrast that is. We're to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Now, his birth, of course, was a necessary ingredient to his death, but it is not part of the gospel. While only one gospel records the details of our Lord's birth, all four gospels carefully depict his death, burial, and resurrection. Only a few verses describe the events involving the birth of Christ. Now you're saying, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with that man? But several chapters of each gospel are devoted to a description of his arrest, trial, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Now, the birth of Christ is important, but it also must be seen that the gospel overshadows the birth of Christ as far as Scripture is concerned. So if we're to understand and celebrate Christmas in a way that is consistent with Scripture, we must celebrate it from a biblical perspective. And when God gives more notice to the gospel and he tells us to go all into the world and preach the gospel, why is Christmas so important and Resurrection Day so unimportant? Why is that? Because it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that provides for our salvation, and not the baby Jesus. I'm not downgrading the baby Jesus. I'm trying to get across to you what's important. And the importance is that God told us to go preach the gospel, but the world preaches Christmas as it is. I wonder why. But you know, the Christmas story today is so important to many today, even those who do not believe in Christ for salvation. So much of Christmas today has no Christ in it. Isn't that true? It's a celebration in December that has a lot of decorations and a lot of traditions, but there's no Christ in it. But you know, the baby story is a sweet story. And everybody loves a baby, you know. But how about a bleeding man on a cross? What a thing to see compared to this beautiful baby. So it's an easy thing to get across, and people love that story. But what about the bleeding Christ on the cross? You know, many have made much, too much, of the babe in the manger because this is the kind of God they wish to serve. A God who is weak, who is helpless, who needs us rather than a God who is sovereign and who demands our obedience, our worship, our all. Worshiping the babe in the manger is not enough, for this is only the way he came into the world and not the way he exited. And that's what's important. You know, Satan is the god of this world. And there's a reason why this turnaround is happening, and it's because it's Satan's world. And he is using Christmas as a diversion from the message of the gospel that ought to be as important or more important, and it should be more important than the message of Christmas. You know, why is this? Well, Satan has all of the world's merchants on his side. Oh, how merchants love Christmas. You know, it's so important because it's the biggest season of the year for sales. And what is the god of this world? Money. Money, you know. But little notice is made of the memorial of Christ's resurrection at Easter, or better described as Resurrection Day, other than to disguise that with the Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. You know, I bet you if you go into the public schools today, there will be Christmas trees in the classes, don't you suppose? But it'll all be a tradition of Christmas without Christ. But Christmas is designed today to present a Christ not of the Bible, but of the human heart's own making. Now, one writer has expressed this thought in this way. Oh, the million Christmas mornings when you'd lie a babe again beneath a million, million trees and hear the countless tongues chanting your name. Ah, will they remember crimson dripping from the iron nails? And will they pray, and will they know a whiter white than snow? Of course, that last part talks about forgiveness of sin. You know, that's such a good message. But any celebration, if you are reading to your grandchildren or your children, any celebration of Christmas ought to always point to the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, and not simply the birth of Christ. Now, I hope I haven't come across as a Scrooge. Have I come across as a Scrooge? Bah, humbug. About this, but the Christmas celebration in the world today has become so unbiblical and so worldly. I went to the doctor on Friday amongst my many doctor's visits. I love to go around town and just visit doctors and say hello and, you know, just drop in. And they're such a busy group. They're such a giving group. But I went into the doctor's office Friday, and the place was so outrageously decorated for Christmas, even to the point of decorating a large skeleton with a Santa Claus hat and a scarf. Now, that skeleton most likely came from Halloween. So they said, let's keep that for Christmas. But I learned that they were having contests in the hospital as to decorations and having a winner in the hospital. So this office, I couldn't believe it. There was decorations on every part of the wall, every part of the counter, all over the top of the counter, all over the front of the counter. It was just outrageously decorated. But you know, Christians are caught up in Satan's clutches as he always tries to take away and hide the message of the precious gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach Christmas. No, and that's what's taking place. That's Satan's message. Diversion, take away from the truth. So, I hope I haven't gone overboard, but perhaps what I've said will make you think. I think one of the things about teachers, and when I taught, I used to teach here, in math and physics and science and Bible. But I always wanted to have the children think, not just be robots. But you know, I found that there are some children that will always be robots. They can't get out of that memorizing things or finding the procedure and going along with the procedure instead of finding out why. Why is this? But it's always good for a teacher to make you think, and I hope that I've made you think. Now, we've just got a few minutes. Let me go and do this instead of starting. Let's see, where is that? I'm doing a Lindsay here. Yes. I'll read these. If Jesus came, would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide away some worldly magazines and put the Bibles where they've been? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Would you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you go, or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends, or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with relief when he at last was gone? You know, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. What questions to ask, you know. You know, Charlie Kirk, I saw some video of Charlie Kirk, and he was talking about persecution. And Jesus talks about persecution, that we're going to be persecuted. And Charlie Kirk was basically saying this, step up your love for Christ and do the things that Christ wanted you to do, and you'll have persecution. You know, and I thought about that, and I said, I was convicted. I don't have any persecution. Why don't I have persecution? Probably because I'm not out in the trenches, you know. And that's one of the messages that we have to have in our hearts, is get in the trenches for God. Do something for God. Witness for God. Write people for God. But get in the trenches, you know. Father, thank you so much. You're so good to us, giving us a place to come, giving us a place to think, giving us a place to learn about you and love you more. Please help us to do that, Father. Do bless the service to come. Bless Pastor Todd as he preaches to us a message that you've given him for this day. We do thank you, Father, for Brother Roger and Sister Beth as they taught this morning also in Sunday school. But do bless us all and help us, Lord, to love you more each day and to get in the trenches for you, that we might be persecuted as you told us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.